clock.
Is Channel 2, The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome to The Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Having my roots done tonight, actually, Paul Andrews, so I'm going to look even more gorgeous.
I was thinking of having mine done.
Yeah, I know, but where would they start? Not being rude or anything, but where would they start?
What, with my roots?
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to start over your ears, wouldn't they, with you? Just saying. Mine don't really need doing, but, you know, my mother's birthday.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Can you see?
Yeah, they don't really need
How can you see? How do you know? You'd be the last person to know, wouldn't you? Because you can't see the top of your head.
Well, I am quite tall. I'm 5 foot 11. So,
but it doesn't help.
I think that works.
I'm 6 foot two and I still can't see the top of my head. not without a mirror, anyway.
The trouble is, as ladies who listen to the Business Bunker
ladies.
Show. Well, no, ladies.
Yeah.
Because I am a lady.
You are a lady.
I am a lady.
You are a lady.
Well, I have a womb anyway, I know. Womb man.
Oh, don't go there. Don't start that.
I got a womb man.
Yeah.
So, because I'd figured that when I was talking to my new husband about it, I said, oh, that's where it came from. Womb and, get it? That's where it came from. Must be Latin or Roman.
Don't think it did.
I think it did. Womb and then
no, I don't
man.
Think it, I don't think it did.
Google it. No. Anyway, so...
it's Sanskrit.
Is it?
Yeah.
Jaya Ganesha, Jaya Ganesha. Anyway, so what I was saying was my lovely mother, Ruth, is 91 on Thursday.
Happy birthday, Ruth.
Fabulous. And we're going to read.
You having a party?
Well, it's not really a party. It's seven of us because we're still.
That's a party these days, isn't it? Oh. Seven people in one place.
My family, yeah. My family are noisy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm like. I just treble it.
Mm.
So the two of the kids are coming. Josh, IFF. Ibiza Fitness Food, IFF Kitchen, is in Ibiza, so he won't, because if he comes over, he'll have to self-isolate for 100 years. It's just not worth it.
Right.
So we will be FaceTiming him. We're going to read, which is in Faversham.
Jules, that's disgusting. I'm just drinking that coffee with that horrible coconut milk in. It's disgusting.
Coconut.
How can you drink that?
I absolutely love it.
It tastes like a melted bounty bar.
Yeah, because you drink your coffee black. I have my tea black.
I drink
black.
My coffee properly.
I have my tea black, but I do like a little bit of frothy coconut milk.
Yeah, but frothy milk's one thing. That coconut stuff's horrible.
But there's no sugar in it.
I should think not.
Yeah, it's a very good coffee. It's freshly roasted,
what a
freshly
waste.
Ground, freshly
what a waste,
brewed.
Mixing it with coconut.
I know. Next time I'll bring my coconut separati.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you bring it separate?
Yeah, but it was funny. I mean, some ladies will know.
I prefer
this.
Goat milk to that, and I don't like goat milk.
Goat milk actually tastes of goat. It actually tastes...
No, really?
But it actually,
what did you expect it to taste of then, like, kangaroo?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know what's going on in Australia.
Skippy,
it looks a bit crooked to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. So, but when you... I like goat's cheese. I can get that.
Not in tea.
Not in tea, no. On a little bit, bubbling up on a bit of toast.
Yeah.
But when you have goat's milk, it actually tastes like a goat smells, if you know what I mean. That sort of goaty, earthy. What I was going to tell you was, you've just got me off the subject. I was talking about my mother, Ruth, 91st.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're very good at getting me off the subject.
Yeah,
and then you moan that I'm ranting. But I would have liked it if her birthday party at Reed's in Faversham, which is fabulous, and it's an independent, which is why I love it. Hello to Brad and all the team there. I would have liked it if her birthday had coincided with when my roots needed doing, because that's next week.
Oh, so inconvenient. Ruth, how could you?
Yeah.
After all this time, 90 years, and you haven't managed to coordinate your daughter's roots.
I was going to eke it out till
call
next
yourself
week.
A mother.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm having my hair cut tomorrow at Flonco. I haven't had my hair cut since I can't remember when.
Oh, I can see.
It's yes.
It's all split ends.
It's a bit, yeah. So I haven't had it done. So I'm going to Flonco. I'm seeing the very lovely team there. Christopher's doing my hair.
Is he?
He's lovely. So I'm going there tomorrow. So I'll have a lovely blow dry. But I'm having my roots done.
A blow what?
Because they're dry.
Okay.
Because I have my roots done somewhere else, somewhere cheaper. Cheaper.
Oh, no, hold on.
Roots you, one place.
You're going to have your hair cut somewhere and then your roots done somewhere else. Oh,
that's
blimey.
How it works. Yeah. You know, women will understand.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to ask the listeners before I get onto heat pumps, which is another story, is I just passed you some of my lovely coffee, which I love. And because of my vaccine damage, I found I need a little bit of oomph at the moment because I'm a bit sluggish. So I bring the coffee in just before I go on air to get a little buzz.
Yeah.
But this today was actually making me feel a bit anxious. Which
I'm
is
not
why
surprised.
I've given
it was horrible.
It's beautiful coffee.
It's horrible.
It's not making you anxious, though, is it?
No, it's making me there. It's what it's making me. Yeah, there.
Anyhow, Let's move on from being anxious.
Yeah, let's move
coffee.
On.
I
yeah.
hope Taisy's listening. She might understand, but I think it's a bit of menopausal anxiety.
No, it's not. I just don't like coconut milk.
That's
it's not my menopause.
That's manopausal. Yeah. Fine. What I was going to say was, as I sailed in this morning, I listened to a couple of radio shows, and I wanted to tweet Bob Beattie, but you're not allowed to tweet and drive at the same time.
No, that's true.
And also our friend Samson Gass, who's a heating engineer.
Yep.
Because this heat pump thing is all where, you know, the government are going to give, what, four or five grand?
They're giving 450 million quid.
Not per person?
No, they're giving 450 million quid to help people transition to using heat pump technology. And that corresponds to about 90,000 homes, which is about 0.03% of the population.
And what I know about heat pumps is that it gives you an ambient temperature. So, you know, you're not going to feel it, particularly from your radiators. They're quite ambient.
Well,
so you've got to have the old new windows, the old triple glazing and that.
Well, you should anyway. I mean, you need to... The person to speak to about this is Jo Allsop of the Heating Hub. Yeah.
And wasn't she on?
No, she was on the show last Thursday.
So was that the Extra?
Yeah, on the Extra show.
So how can people listen to that, Paul Andrews?
By going to campusinsradio.co.uk, Extra Shows, and listening to the show with Jo Allsop in it,
she
on the label.
Click on that, but not now, because now
no,
we're
no,
here
now
we're
on air now.
Yeah.
Afterwards. There are two things. One of the things that Jo is a heating engineer as well. One of the things she's passionate about and what the Heating Hub actually does as a business is they, for a very small amount of money, they will come into your home and advise you on how to make your gas boiler efficient and to save vast amounts of money on your gas. Because the problem is, since the advent of condensing boilers, they've never been installed properly.
Mm.
And a lot of us use smart controllers. And the smart controllers don't interface correctly to the boiler.
Is that on the phone? You mean where you put it on and off when you're out? If you're out?
Yeah, and you set the temperatures and you have the boiler come on and come off, heat the hot water and all that kind of stuff.
You can do that with the thermostat and stuff on your
kitchen. Well, they're all the same things.
Yeah.
And the problem with all of those things is they're not set up correctly. So they they're not set up correctly. So they use far too much gas and they tend to overheat, you know, people have it too high and all the rest of it. Mm. So they offer it's peanuts, the money that they charge to come in and assess your boiler setup. Because one of the things that Joe was passionate about is that people's boilers are all too big. Yeah,
I've got a huge one.
Well, I don't mean physically in size. Oh. It's the power of the boiler is too big for most houses, and they've been oversold condensing boilers that they could use in a better way. So basically, paraphrasing all of this, you can do a lot better with your existing gas boiler. But Joe is also a fan of heat pump technology, as long as it's installed properly. And again, one of the problems with heat pump technology, apart from that you have to change your radiators and pipework because it's a different thing.
So if you've got a nicely decorated house and you're all going to start ripping your house apart.
Yeah.
Aside from the fact, I've just had a new boiler fitted and you saw my new bathrooms.
Mm.
So there's no way that I can afford to do that, even with a grant.
The problem with all of that is that even once you've had it done, if you haven't had it done properly, then it's still not very efficient. And that's the whole ethos of what the Heating Hub are talking about is efficiency of home heating.
Does Jo still do your wood burners as well?
No. She sold that business. She's completely independent now. So okay. she doesn't install boilers any longer. She doesn't sell boiler systems. She isn't affiliated to any boiler manufacturer. She's completely independent and just comes in and goes, you don't want to do it like that. You want to do it like this.
The thing is, it's very, very hypocritical because from all the new builds that are going up around, and we've got Barry in the studio and John Sanderson and Barry Thompson, who'll be talking to us later. But I know Bazza lives in Whitstable, and the new builds going up in Thanet and Kent and Faversham, unbelievable. The roads can't cope. The sewage certainly can't cope because the Southern Water are just
dumping it in the sea, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. We can't swim. We're getting notices. Our water tastes of fluoride at the moment. It's really, really strong. I've complained twice. And the new builds are not getting solar panels. They're not getting anything that, like that. There's no solar panels going on. There's no water butts. There's nothing. So they're just bunging them up.
Yeah. And I mean, we are going to talk to John and Barry about their product, which is a fantastic product. And we're really keen on getting an update on that. And it is a very eco-friendly product. For me, one of the issues with a lot of this government-led stuff is a lot of it's just, well, there's no other way to describe it, it's just virtue signalling. They're telling you stuff, but they're not really thinking it through. Yeah, and they go, right, you need to be eco-conscious. Yep, we all agree with that. Yes, we do. And then they move on to something else, and you go, well, hold on a minute, was that it? You know, yep, you've got to get zero carbon by, you know, next Thursday or something, you know, and you go, okay, how exactly do we do that? Yeah, well, that's a different issue. And the problem is they're not being very realistic about any of this stuff, you know. Leaving aside the fantastic product that John and Barry have got, all this other stuff we're talking about, heat pumps and all the rest of it, relies on electricity.
Yeah.
So the issue is way back down the line is how we generate electricity is the issue.
Exactly.
Yeah, how we clean generate electricity, and the fact that electrical demand is going through the roof because we're moving, you know, vehicles, buses, boilers, everything's going to be electrical.
Well, I was listening as I drove in, and they were saying that we're miles behind the rest of Europe. But when I go to Spain, all I see is plastic water bottles absolutely everywhere.
Mm.
They've got so much sunshine, but there's no solar panels on any of their houses.
Yeah.
You know, where I go, Moraira, Alicante, Valencia. So I don't know. I think we've got to rethink this.
Personally, I don't care much for league tables. You know, different countries have different issues anyway. You know, Spain, large parts of Spain are slightly warmer than large parts of the United Kingdom, and it's a slightly different setup. You know, so comparing one to another, you know, it's like me saying, well, you know, or the problem, you know, the solar stuff we got here doesn't compare anything to like they got in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but the last time I went to Spain, it was just before we had all these lovely thermoses, I'm waving at my water bottle. I went probably 4 years ago, and I had to search everywhere for a glass bottle to refill my water from my house there to take out with me. And what I had to do in the end, it was all plastic. I had to go, and they all drink, you know, bottles and bottles of plastic water. I had to go and buy a bottle of apple ties, chuck that down the sink because I don't have sugary drinks, don't like them, and then reuse that. It was bananas.
Yeah.
So,
but for all of that, you know, we're back down to how we generate electricity, and we're going to talk to these guys in the second half of the show about
They've got helicopters on their heads and sort of all whirling things, and they've got glasses that are, you know, generating heat as they go, and they've got their feet stamping, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you remember that guy that there was a pupil at Simon Langton that was friends with my son Shay? And he, I can't remember his name, he made that thing that was going to go into shopping malls.
Yeah.
That you walk on.
Oh, the electrical generated walkway. Yeah.
Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, well, the hamster got it, didn't they?
Because they're talking about doing that on motorways, aren't they? Barry?
They wear out, unfortunately, because of the up and down movement. They wear out too quickly.
What, is it rubber or...?
No. It's actually spring-loaded. The plates are spring-loaded. And over a period of time, you have to remove all of the plates and replace them.
So what are the plates made of? Metal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and that would be expensive, presumably, if it's precious metal.
Yeah, you have to rip up a road.
You have to nick a few catalytic converters again.
I mean, for me, you know, technology will solve our problems eventually. Mm. It will, you know, because one of the great things about human ingenuity is we come up with solutions eventually. One of the problems is there's a lot of politicians running around screaming and making decisions that deflect everything while people are trying to work on producing technical solutions that work. Yeah, you've got to be more patient, you know, and keep holding big seminars and spouting off in the press about what you're going to do by such and such a date is nonsense as far as I'm concerned. You know, we've got to let people do what's what. I mean, one of my big things is nuclear power, and I used to work in the nuclear industry many years ago, and I notice very quietly we opened the world's first fusion nuclear power plant in the United Kingdom.
Which does
3 months ago. It doesn't do anything at the moment because the technology, it's using what's called STEP technology, which is spherical. spherical tokamak energy production, and a tokamak is a fusion
sounds like
reactor.
A chocolate bar to me.
And basically it's a heavily magnetized sphere full of plasma that generates the power. Okay, they've opened a fusion nuclear power plant in on top of an old coal mine, actually, in Nottingham, and the people that operate it say it won't produce electricity for the national grid for a couple of years yet because it's an experimental plant. But they have plans to open 8 of them over the next 10 years in the UK, and they do believe that they will be able to generate significant amounts of electricity using fusion technology. That would be the greenest technology ever produced if they do manage to pull that off. But it's still very experimental. But I've seen some interesting stuff. There's a thing called RTGs, if you're familiar with those, which is radioisotope. I need to remember all the bloody names of things. It's radioisotope thermoelectric generation. And what they are sealed nuclear units, and they're primarily used in places that are unmanned, like space stations and satellites and places in the Arctic Circle where you have something beaming, you know, signals and you can't get there to keep it going. So it's a sealed unit that will last like 200 years of producing. So it's basically a small nuclear power plant.
Is this the stuff that Rolls-Royce is working on? With
Rolls-Royce builds them, yeah. Rolls-Royce builds those RTGs, and they use them in things like nuclear submarines and stuff like that. Well, there's talk about, you know, could you use an RTG to power, like, a village?
Yeah.
So there's all those kind of things. Anyway, she got us onto this, and we're talking about this in the second half of the show, and we've already discussed half of it now.
You know, I still.
Do you know what? It's 18 minutes past the hour, and I haven't even told you who this week's sponsor is yet.
I was about to ask you.
No, you weren't, you big fibber.
But I still do want you to answer, why are the councils allowing new builds to build all these estates with no solar and no water butts and no infrastructure for...
Lack of joined-up thinking, to be honest.
Yeah.
Completely.
It's crazy.
You know, I can't put it in any other terms. The problems with politicians is they like to make big announcements and then walk away and think of something else to do. They don't like handling the day-to-day.
They're looking for the next headline.
And then looking for a permanent headline every time, and they go, right, we've done that one. That's global warming sorted. What should we sort out next? You know, it's the perennial thing. It's like senior management in a big organisation. I remember years and years ago, a bank I worked for, I got called in, and the boss of the bank said to me, I need you to knock off 20 million off your budget next year. And I went, yeah, fair enough, what do you want me not to do? And he went, I don't want you to stop doing anything. How am I going to save $20 million then? Well, that's your problem. You know, I've made the difficult decision. And that's the kind of thing you get from politicians, isn't it, that says, you know, we're going to have zero carbon. Off you go. And then leaves it to everybody else to try and work out. You've not come across that before, have you guys?
Oh, no, not at all.
No,
definitely not. No.
Okay.
The people I've worked with, investment banks, are lovely people. They would never do that.
Yeah, absolutely. They're fantastic, aren't they? okay.
Who might our sponsor be?
This week, we're sponsored by the lovely folks at Christmas in Tenterton. And they are fundraising for the Tenterton Light Trail. It's a four-day light installation trail designed to offer local community and visitors a safe, interactive experience to come together at events located at key sites along Tenterton High Street. The trail is designed to create a fun experience, encouraging all who visit to walk the full length of the High Street. And it's going to involve school pupils with their light installation, local residents, local businesses. Each have their own light installation that forms a journey down the High Street. And the point behind it is, one, it's a piece of entertainment, two, it's a community project to get people involved with it, and three, its primary aim is to get people back onto the High Street using local independent shops and stores.
And they were all twinkly when they were online.
And they're all twinkly and lovely. And it is. I actually live in Tenterton, and the late night shopping experience, which is this has grown out of, is always a fabulous, fabulous experience. It is really, really magical. And it's a real family thing. So do try and support it if you can. If you'd like to donate a few pennies to it or to get involved, if you go to spacehive.com/Tenterton Light Trail. That's spacehive.com/Tenterton Light Trail. And thank you so much for sponsoring the show.
Yes, we love a sponsor.
Right.
And we would love to hear from you. So do tweet in using the hashtag BeBunker to myself or the lovely old Vanilla Web.
Yeah, absolutely. And we would have read some of your tweets if Jules hadn't decided that she wanted to go off on a completely different tangent.
Well, I got very excited when I heard about the grants, but you know, I've just had a new boiler put in. As I said, we've got a great plumber. I might get Joe to come and look, but it's a bit late. I've actually got three boilers in my house. One is very old, one is new.
I'm saying nothing.
One is new. I'm just asking. Oh, right. So the new cylinder, this is my lovely John Harris, my plumber. The new cylinder we installed is an unvented mega flow.
It would be.
It is to give you better equal running water pressure to more than one outlet, because I've got three floors.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I have to say, it's quite overzealous. On the we've had that Moroccan toilet that I invited you around to with your fez, and when you turn on that tap, it's like it's quite a thing. But what I have noticed going on about energy,
yeah,
is when the three adults,
you're going to keep going, aren't you?
Well, it excites me. Can we do a whole energy program? Mm. When the three adult children moved out finally to their little houses, one in Ibiza and two in London, I've been able to turn off the hot water completely in the evening because we rarely shower or bath in the evening.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we do it in the morning, Paul Andrews. So I've actually turned it off.
Have you?
It comes on at 5 and stays on till about 7. And I think someone like Joe would be really good because I'm sure a lot of people have their hot water on for far too long and don't get round to.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I sort of do that. And when we go away, I turn it all off as
right.
well.
Right, anyway.
Do you want to do a show now?
Well, it would have helped, but we're now half an hour in and we haven't even started
getting
yet.
Getting all uppity.
And I've got I've got cheesy tunage and a guest to hear from, or guests to hear from, that have nothing to do with the energy business whatsoever.
But what is a new cylinder unvented
mega
flow?
Yeah.
You know, do you know what it is? A new cylinder unvented mega flow? That's what I got. It's ever so swanky.
Yeah.
Really swanky.
Good.
Yeah. Is it good or bad or ugly?
Well, I've got some cheesy tunage.
What are you going to play?
Well, I'm going to play this cheesy tunage. You will not know this because I didn't know this and I still can't find out who it is. It's a punk band.
All right.
Yeah. But it's in honour of our next guests, who are City Way Health Clinic.
Well, they're not punky.
No, but they are osteopaths. Okay. So that makes sense when you hear.
That's very punky, isn't it?
Wait for it.
My side for weeks. I feel so tired and I cannot sleep.
So
I'm up all night and I'm looking online. I'm up all night and I'm losing my mind. Convince myself I've got a disease. I'm freaking out at every sneeze. I've looked online and I'm going to die. I've got a rash on my inner thigh. I go, whoa,
go downstairs cause I need a wee. And now I can't get back to sleep. I think this is a warning sign. I might as well have a look online. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. These thoughts are killing me.
What about that then? Pain in my side.
I think that was really good.
Hold on. Let me turn you up. Go on.
I'm sure City Way osteopaths will appreciate that because we did talk about pains. We talked about posture, working from home, things we can do, and little tips from the boys at City Way. So we're going to hear.
Shall we hear from them?
I think
let's
so.
Do that.
Yeah, they do it so well.
And I'm here with David, that's David Kennett and Chris Allen of City Way Health Clinic. They are osteopaths, you know, and they're based in the Medway area. I happen to know they've got a clinic in Raynham. You can follow them at City Way Ost, O-S-T. As always, tweet in any questions. Use the hashtag BBunker. You can tweet me at Jules Sirkin or at VanillaWeb, and we'll hear you and pass on your questions to City Way osteopaths. So it's your chance to ask anything that you can think of. Does your neck ache? Does your back ache? Does it make you miserable? How do you cope? Are you working from home? I know that we've been working from home, my new husband and me, for about 2 years now, and we're scrabbling over one office. We have two desks, luckily. I bought my new husband a standing desk as well, so I'm going to ask, and I bought my son a standing desk as well, so I'm going to ask the osteopaths what their suggestion is about working from home and what tips they're going to give us. So hello,
good morning.
I've got them both squashed in a car, but their posture is very good. I can see from here, high backrests and high seats. And I know that you're just sloping off for a game of golf.
We are. We're having a very rare day away from the clinic and to network with some old patients of ours and get active. I think that's the point.
Moving is so important. So tell me, the first thing I was going to ask was what the difference is between osteopathy, chiropractor and physio. I know that's a huge question, you're probably a couple of books on it, but in a nutshell, what's the difference?
I think first of all, if we had a pound for every time we was asked that question, we'd be playing golf a bit more often. It is a very, very common question, and it is a difficult one to answer due to the complexities of what each profession will do. And if you ask a chiropractor that and then a physio, you'll probably get a different answer from them. I always say, from the patient's point of view, what they will see with us is that it's going to be a little bit more of a manual approach, more hands-on treatment. And we do address the soft tissues of muscles, tendons and like, as well as the joints and the bones, probably a little bit more than the chiropractors will do. And definitely
do you work on the fascia as well?
fascia, yes, yeah, yeah. So myofascial appreciation is always there with our treatments. And as I say, you know, compared to the physio, your physios often, you know, a lot do hands-on, but a lot are hands-off, and it's more exercise provision in their approach.
Chris, would you explain to the listener what fascia is?
Fascia is a connective tissue between muscles and bones, and it's almost a tissue which allows freedom of movement between these structures. And fascia itself is a contractile tissue, so fascia can hold tension, as can muscle. So to term between the two, I personally think after 18 years of experience, can be quite difficult. Providing your treatment approach is looking at the muscle, the fascia, the joint, and you're inclusive of all the structures, often you'll get a good result.
And is it right that fascia can sort of hold a memory of an accident or an injury?
Oh, I mean, that's a big question for a Thursday morning.
It is hypothesized that people will have a trauma. So you were discussing off air the trauma that you had, you know, with the horse and falling off, compound fracture there. Yeah. You know, the fascia around the bone that was broken and the muscles there would have contracted at that time. As Chris mentioned, it has a contractile ability. Now, the thing is, has that contraction within that tissue released? Yeah, and potentially it hasn't. So from that point of view, it's, people say it has memory, it is still contracted from the initial trauma. Yeah, I think it's kind of semantics in words. And that, does the fascia itself have memory like you do actually within your brain? No, of course not, because there isn't the functions there. It's still just holding the fibers and the mechanoreceptors or whatever within that fascia. Yeah, could still be tight from the trauma. So memory, as in that regard, it's difficult to say it has memory, but it still can be contracted from trauma previously.
Yeah, I get that. And so with the dreaded COVID and the working from home, not everybody can work from home, of course, and we know that we've got heroes out there that are keeping these, you know, checkouts going and in shops and everything, so we can get our supplies. But people working from home, like myself, and my young son, 25, working from home with his girlfriend. So they've had to get a two-bedroom flat so they can do their Zoom calls and things rather than a one-bedroom. So they're spending out more money living in London, working in the city. And I bought him a standing desk. My husband, I bought him one about 15 years ago. I think they're great. I'm not a good stander. Particularly, I find it quite tiring, but my husband can stand like a giraffe all day. So what would you, are you seeing different injuries and pain from people working from home?
So I think with us, our main premises is in Rochester. We've got a large clinic there, multidisciplinary, lots of rooms, lots of practitioners, and Rochester is, as you will probably well know, is actually almost a commuter town. So we've got a lot of people that live in around that area that jump on the high-speed train up to London, or they obviously haven't been in the last year and a half. So we have seen definitely a lot of more patients that are working from home who will normally travel up to London. So there's a couple of aspects to why we're seeing them. We're seeing them, A, because they are sitting, as you are, at home for long periods of time and not moving. Whereas before they would be walking to the train station, walking from the train station, and in the office, walking around, talking to their friends. So there's a lot more walking and not sitting during the day. Whereas at home, they walk down the stairs, sit at the dining room table, and then sit there all day and then not move. That's the reason we're seeing them, because they are just not moving. They're just inactive. The compression from sitting down all day, the immobility is leading to pain and a lot of problems.
And possibly having the proper office chair and things like that.
You can have the Ergo 4000 chair, the best thing to spend. We see it all the time. Patients go, "Oh, what do you think to this chair?" It's like, "Oh no, it's £1,000." You don't need to spend £1,000 on a chair. You just need one that's adjustable in the right ways. the thing is, it can be the best one in the world. You can't sit at it all day. That is the problem. You need to move. We're not designed as human beings. We haven't evolved yet to sit properly. We need to move. And that's the thing. You need to get out of the seat. So where you're saying your husband there and your son has a stand-up desk, that's brilliant. In this country, we're behind in the times. You know, in other countries, you know, France especially, you know, they've had stand-up desks for a long period of time. And it's biomechanically, it's better for you. Having a stand-up sit-down desk when you can adjust is even better. Perfect. You know, they are really good. And we're slowly coming around to that idea in this country. More people are having them.
I sometimes send my Mac flying. If I use my new husband's desk, because I can't stand for long, and I'll go on there to do a Zoom, and you have to unclip it and then push it down. And many right. times I have to hang on to my Mac going out the window. It's like, but my son's one, it was quite a reasonably priced one. It's you can see it on Instagram, and it's a little sort of wooden Japanesey thing. Very, very minimal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they are becoming more affordable now. So before there was obviously very expensive to get. So it put out people's price range, but I think they are becoming. I think even IKEA they have one nowadays, which is is reasonably priced.
And going back to the chair, so you were saying there's no need to spend £1,000 on that. And would you have some tips for the listeners about what kind of chair they should be looking for?
I don't know what we've got a person who supplies office furniture down the road to us, and he supplies all our chairs, and they're just perfect. It's ZP100 chair, isn't it? And it's £150, I think. It's Graham Office Furniture on New Road. Nice guy. But the chair, your question being, it needs to be adjustable in three ways. Up and down, because you need to get the right height equivalent. Your desk is normally the thing which is set, that you can't adjust that. So you need to make everything else equivalent around that. So you're looking at 90 degrees, 90 degrees at your ankle, knee, hip, and sitting upright. The seat part, it doesn't necessarily have, it needs to either be horizontal, or it needs to be tipped forward. You know, you don't want bucket, you don't want it coming back, because that then creates a lot more pressure on your lower back and hip. So if that's not adjustable, then that's fine. So it's just up and down. And then the back part, having something which supports your back, has a lumbar support to it, is fantastic as well. You need to be aware of arms on chairs, because people are like, oh, I like arms to rest my arms. But however, they often can restrict your ability to get into your desk. So if the arms jam against the desk, you then end up either sitting forward and slumping, or you leaning forward too much. So sometimes arms aren't necessarily kind of the greatest thing either.
I'm thinking, reading lots of press about people saying, oh, people need to get back to the city, and, the city's struggling, blah, blah, blah. I believe that if we're working from home, we're supporting our local high street, as, certainly we are, the local shops, the butcher, the baker, the fruit shop and everything else, so we can keep our own area alive rather than all charging into the city.
Agreed.
And perhaps London has to evolve in different ways and have some of those offices that are empty into units, and some residential and some hairdressers and all sorts of things that we would normally want where we live. So let's see if that changes. But I think there's a Because it's had such bad press working from home, and I know that the guys I know that work from home are all working really hard and probably having less breaks than they would in the office, because they're not walking to the water station, they're not having a little chat, they're not walking to the toilets, they've got the loo just beside them in their house. And I think some people are actually scared to take breaks because they're diligent and they're trying to prove that they can do the same at home. So how important are breaks and stretching and standing and getting away from your desk? And what would you suggest if you get up? So say I get up now after doing a Zoom call, what stretches would you suggest? Would you do a little shoulder roll?
I mean, your recommendation is that you should minimum get up for 5 minutes every hour. But what people do is they'll sit down for 3 or 4 hours and save it up for 20 minutes, for example. And that's not really the idea. By that time, the muscles have become short and tight. And yes, you can get it moving. But if you're doing that for 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, that accumulation over years will eventually lead to a short, tight, painful muscle. So ultimately, getting up and moving is the key. As osteopaths, we're lucky. We spend most of the time moving around. Yes, we have to do administration work, but it's not as much as all the other fixing people work comes along. So stretches to do, it's difficult to say over the radio, but just getting up and having a walk, shrugging your shoulders, you know, bending over to touch your toes, having a lunge, any movement is going to be better than being sat at your desk for an extra 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Having a little alarm, a little note in the corner of your screen to say, get up. Because you forget, if you're stuck into a piece of work, you will, before you know it, 2 or 3 hours have passed, and you're like, oh, God, everything hurts because you've been there for too long.
Yeah.
Yes, they're postural muscles. Yes, they're designed to hold you there, but all muscles will get tired if they're in the same position. So, yeah, I think really a lot of people should try and find some kind of stretching regime for the morning and the evening. If you can fit one in at lunchtime, great. And that's something, as osteopaths, we do. We'll do treatment. We also give people exercise programs alongside recommending the Pilates side of things, which is, in my opinion, are the best body maintenance exercise going.
Yeah.
Like they say, shoulder rolls, yes, it's good. It's movement. It's just changing your posture. I often say to people, I'd rather you had 3 or 4 bad postures in the day rather than one good one. So at least you're moving around, you know, you're changing your positioning.
Yeah.
It can be beneficial.
I guess if you've got stairs at home, you could do a little bit of hopping up and down the stairs for a bit of aerobic as well. And it's really important to get out in the sunshine, isn't it? And step out if you've got a garden or...
Especially now as the nights are drawing in. Yeah. Yeah. Take some vitamin D as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming this time of year. Yeah, so, Chris, absolutely spot on there. And it's, I think also... lunchtimes, you know, within the city, people would have, they will go for lunch because it's part of their networking. But people, I've been talking to patients, and I would just literally work my way through from 9 till 6 or something. But no, take your lunch, go out, go walk, go move.
Yeah.
You know, plug in now. But yeah, we offer Pilates at Fort Pitt House City Way. They're all on Zoom as well as in class now. Our Pilates instructors were fantastic. They worked so hard throughout the whole pandemic and doing Zoom classes all the way through. So there was always access to that. And they say they've been back in the studio now for, you know, a few months and getting very busy. But you need to take that out at lunch. You know, not just, mainly for the physical benefit, get out, walk, go for a long walk, get some steps in, but also mentally,
yes.
You cannot sit, you know, research shows you cannot sit and concentrate for that long period of time. It doesn't work. Yeah. You'll be more productive. And this is what I try and drill into patients is, honestly, take that hour at lunch. You will get more done throughout the course of the day because you're going to be so much more productive come the afternoon. You know, battling on through thinking you're doing well. You're not. Your productivity is going to get low. Your concentration and all that is actually going to get affected. You're going to make mistakes and it's going to be more time consuming along the line. So it's, you know, getting active is so important.
Important for mental health, especially. And so talking about the career of being an osteopath, I know you have to study for ages and learn anatomy and physiology. So if someone were looking at becoming an osteopath for their future career, what advice would you give and what courses are available?
Yes. So to become an osteopath, Chris and I have both, and I still do work for the ESO, the European School of Osteopathy, which is based down in Boxley in Maidstone, which is one of the major osteopathic institutions to train at in the country. There's a few nowadays, but ESO and a couple in London are the major ones. But it's a 4-year course, full time. There are a couple of places that offer the part time course, but it's 4 years full time, and it is full time. Training is not one of these degrees where you go in for 2 hours a week and run around with a traffic cone on your head for the rest. It's a full-time course where you learn anatomy, physiology, pathology. It's very similar kind of depth of training to that of the GP, apart from we don't do the pharmacology because we don't prescribe. It's an intense course. You know, you've got to have a passion for it if you want to do it.
And once you finish it, then you do finish it. It's a vocational course because you end up with a degree and an ability to train and practice as an osteopath. So I would recommend it if that's what you're into. There is a call for osteopaths now. There's more. Yeah, we've got 11 within our team. We took on three new ones this year. Yeah, we took on three new ones this year, and to be honest, we could do with another three at the moment. We're that busy with our workload, and the people are looking for osteopaths more and more than before. So the same. The ESO is one place to train. And it, we had a great time. That's where Chris and I we first met each other. We trained together. I say qualified. Well, 22 years ago we started our training. And qualified for 18. Sorry.
I said you only look five.
Stop it.
You made me feel extremely old. It's like when you see policemen and you think they can't possibly meet their pedals.
The career of being an osteopath keeps you young. Yeah, there you go.
We practice what we preach, drink lots of water and do lots of exercise.
So do you get into nutrition as well with your clients?
Nutrition, yes, yeah. We're both very interested in it. We've both done courses along the way in nutrition as well. I'm a massive advocate of, you are what you eat. It's a cliche, but I always say, if you put petrol in a diesel car, it doesn't run, does it? And that's unfortunately a lot of people. So yeah, that and kind of supplementation. We talk to patients about some of them as well.
I kind of am wondering about the next generation because, I live on the seafront in Tankerton, Whitstable, and I see kids walking along and they're literally walking along with their families and they're all on their phones looking down. They're not looking at the sea. It's quite sad. And you see similar in restaurants, even babies with iPads, which makes me want to cry, really.
Me too.
What would you say about my new husband has bought me a little thing to put my phone on because I work in social media a lot and I tend to do it just looking down. So he's bought me a little thing that I put it on and that makes a huge
good.
Difference.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
so that will do.
And do it so you don't get a little hump.
Yeah, so I think Chris and I both agree. When we first started, say 18 years ago, the major complaint we would see would be lower back.
Yeah.
Nowadays, that's probably equaled now with neck and upper thoracic problems, if not surpassed by that. And you call it the Tex-Necks or I-Neck or whatever, the reasons for that. The major reason is heads are heavy. Don't even the less intelligent people among us still have a heavy brain in their heads. And as soon as you kind of move the head forward, even just 15 degrees, it's 12 kilograms more actual load onto that neck. Now some people they're really down and I think it's if up to 60 degrees of flexion within the neck and up to 27 kilograms that's almost the half of some people's weight is actually then being loaded on the spine additionally to what is should be on there. Now doing that for a period of time again is going to lead to overwork, overstrain of the muscles, trapezius and the erector spinae. But that also puts a lot of pressure on the discs in the neck, and that can lead to additional degeneration of those, and the joints as well get overstrained. So, the gizmo that you say you have there for keeping your head up—that sounds brilliant. Yeah, and that's what I try to try and keep it upright and keep your head supported in a certain way, and or get off your phone. It's life, as you say, you're walking beside the sea and you're looking at your phone, you're missing the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, it's sad. And another thing that I found from my hairdresser, actually, my hairdresser is a male, one of them, I got a couple, and he actually started drinking soy milk because he thought it was healthier to cut out dairy. And he grew man boobs, or moobs as they're called. And I think it was his osteopath that told him, and he stopped drinking soy and his boobs went, or his moobs, whatever they're called. So I think we, as you say, we are what we eat, and it's pretty individual because I've really helped myself. I've got Hashimoto's, so low thyroid, which I battled with for 25 years, doing what the NHS told me to do, which didn't work, which is to take levothyroxine. and I wasn't actually converting the T4 to T3. So I now buy my own drugs from America, which are hugely ridiculously expensive because I can't seem to get them on the NHS. But I take what Hillary Clinton takes, which is NDT, which is natural desiccated thyroid. But I did, I'd always been gluten-free because I knew that didn't suit me and made me knackered and puffy. But I did I followed a lady called Amy Myers, who's in America. She's very silly, so was lots of supplements, so I ignore that. But I followed what she said, and honestly, it was like a light bulb coming on. And I don't, now I don't eat any grains at all. So I live on good quality, organic usually, meat, fish, veg, fruit, coconut milk, organic, because a lot of it's got nasties in if you read the labels. And it's changed my life, literally. And I would kill for a plate of pasta, and I would kill for, you know, certain things. But, you know, I can get away with it for a couple of days, but then I just feel knackered. So, but I think what we need to realise is that we're all individuals and that one diet doesn't fit everybody.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah. There's different theories and ways of looking at that. You can go kind of metabolic type in back, you know, where you originate from, your genetic pool and those type of things. Blood group, yeah, more protein type, more carbohydrate type, those type of things. But I think one thing, you know, I have an acronym that I won't go into because it would take too much time, but what one thing I do say to people is don't fail when it comes to nutrition. There's T-H-A-I-L, and that being time at which you eat your food, H2O, water, if you've got drink water. A, accountability. You know, the problem is some people, they just eat too much. You know, you need to look at how much you're eating, for example, and what you're eating. I increase protein. A majority of people in this country just need to eat a bit more protein in their diet. It's too carb heavy. And L is a live food. You know, was what you got on your plate, was it ever alive at one point in time? You know, a bit of broccoli was, chicken was, unfortunately your pasta wasn't alive at one point. It's, you know, it's been processed, you know, and to be honest, you know, live food, your body's generally more likely to be able to deal with it, metabolize it more than it can that processed material.
I feel that we're in very safe hands here with Cityway Health Clinic. And as the gentleman said, you can find them. Oh, read me out your website. So 3Ws dot?
CWHC. So CityWayHealthClinic.co.uk. We'll Brilliant. Take you to our website.
And as I said before, you can tweet them at Cityway OST, find them on all the usual channels. And you're opening a new branch soon. So spreading out, that's brilliant.
Hopefully, yeah, that's still all in the pipeline. But yeah, if that all goes through, then we'll be able to offer over Medway, especially a lot more appointments and access to all the great things that we do offer.
Okay, so remember, guys, if you're listening, to remember to breathe, remember to blink and take breaks for your eyes as well when you're looking at the computer screen. And their top five tips, just to finish off, what would your top five tips? Let's have one from Chris.
Just move.
Brilliant one. And David?
The breaks are so, so important, you know, from what you're doing.
Okay.
So you need to do different postures for your body.
Keep hydrated. Have a bottle of water at your desk at all times. Excellent.
Hey, well done. Brownie points for you.
And that was a Rui Bosch. I have one coffee a day, which I love. I love coffee. I love the whole ritual. But I always have a little Rui Bosch or a ginger or a lemon or something on the go. David, another tip?
So, as well as move, sometimes it doesn't have to be every day, but sometimes you need to do some resistance exercise as well. And the Pilates, you know, using your body weight is good for that, or gym or something along those lines. So actually you need to challenge the muscles in a positive way.
My resistance is ginger biscuits. Working from home. I do that every day.
Isn't that called a weakness?
It's my one weakness. How did you know? And last, finally, Chris or David?
I think it kind of goes against kind of everything we've been saying, but make sure you get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep well, because screen time will affect your sleep. And if you're not moving, you won't sleep well. And that becomes a vicious cycle. You feel tired because you've not moved, so you don't want to move. Make sure you move and make sure you sleep well, and the next day is going to feel a damn sight better.
So these, just to round off, we need to round off, but you've just triggered another thing. These dark nights where we put these stupid clocks back and it gets dark at 5 o'clock or something, it's really hard, isn't it, to sort of, I immediately, like my dog, just my sort of activity just goes down once it's dark. And you notice it with animals. It's a human thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That once it's dark, you just, so, you know, instead of watching Netflix, what do we do all evening when it's dark? I suppose we could go to Pilates class.
You can do, and I say we offer them online, so you can do it in your house, so you haven't got to go out with a cold, drizzly night to get to the place. But you can also do that. I think then that comes back to my point regarding lunchtime. You know, it doesn't matter when you do your exercise through the day necessarily. At lunchtime, it's still going to be light. You know, make sure you take that lunch. Yeah. Get out. Do something. You know, you need to just get active at some point during the day. And
I just put it in earlier, but vitamin D is so important during winter if you're working in an office. Holland & Barrett, whatever, wherever it is you get it from, just get some vitamin D, one a day, and it will make the difference to so many people with aches and pains, fatigue, mood. It's worth taking.
That's a good one. And also with COVID, they're saying as well. And also what I do with my mushrooms. So I get mushrooms every week and I put them on the windowsill for half an hour before I cook them, which activates the vitamin D, I believe. So, you know, remember those mushrooms that have been in the fridge, let them see the light as if they've been in the garden for half an hour before you grill them or whatever you're doing with them.
Exactly. And as, along with vitamin D, vitamin B12 is very, very important for kind of energy-wise, fatigue, sleep, mood, memory. And that's something that we actually offer at the clinic as well, is vitamin B12 injections.
Oh,
and
we've seen since. So how?
Yeah, through COVID, we've seen a lot more people, just because they haven't been able to get access what they normally have with their GP. We've seen a lot of people come to get their kind of injections to perk them up, giving them that boost, and it does. It works very well. We both kind of use them.
And I take mine always, my B12 at night. Is that right?
No, it doesn't matter with B12. You don't necessarily have to. No, you don't necessarily have to take it at night.
I take all my sort of vitamin C and zinc and all that in the morning, and selenium I take for thyroid. And then in the evening I take magnesium for terrible muscles to do with my thyroid in my upper arms. I take 2 magnesium and a vitamin B12 and a complex.
That's all good. Magnesium is another supplement that I really bang on to, because we see a lot of people cramping and just muscle ache. Magnesium is something that's unfortunately been lost in the way we farm foods over the years, and is a supplement that, again, I also take. It's a good one. You can get it in spray version as well, so you can use it topically and spray it onto your body, and your body will absorb it topically.
Yeah, there's a whole nother program there. So we'll have to reschedule. But for now, from David Kennett and Chris Allen of Cityway Health Clinic Osteopaths, and they do lots of other things you've just heard. So not just osteopathy, Pilates classes and your B12 injections and lots of advice of how to help you all work from home. But for now, from myself, Jules Serkin, and from David and Chris, it's a warm goodbye.
Goodbye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was David and Chris from
Top Tips there, Paul Andrews.
There was. It was fantastic.
I as I was listening to them, I was thinking about our posture, because there I was, you know, on my phone tweeting to everybody that's tweeted, and thank you all the listeners. And my head was down, and he was saying about how much our heads actually weigh.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really heavy.
Well, mine's really heavy.
I know. And I, well, of course, you're very brainy, unlike my greyhound, who's not so brainy.
He's got a small, thin head.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a bit faster than me, though.
Yeah, it's a she, though.
Is it?
Darcy, darling.
All right.
Really top tips, and some good tips there on nutrition and magnesium, and also getting up and moving, because, like, when you're working from home, we all feel very diligent. We want to show our bosses that we can do just as much as when we go into the office. But give yourself a lunch break. Walk about, you know, pretend you're going to the water cooler to have a little chat. Stretch.
Without a doubt, you know, sitting at a computer all day or sitting looking at your phone all day or a tablet is not healthy. It isn't. And that's something that I've come across personally over the last 18 months, you know, with the stresses and strains and putting on weight and eating biscuits and...
I get annoyed with my new husband because he's not commuting and travelling like he used to into the city. He's windsurfing and paddleboarding before.
No, well, that's all right for some of you that live on the coast at Whitstable, isn't it? But the rest of us don't get, you know, doing a bit of paddleboarding in my back garden ain't going to work, is it?
You have got your own pond.
I have got my own pond, but it's no good for paddleboarding.
I'll bring you a paddleboard. You have a go.
Anyway, we've wasted so much time before the interview with you waffling on that we're now at the Channel Radio newsroom time. But when we come back, we've got two fantastic guests to talk to further.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, so let's join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Let's do it.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.